will gain your souls. I speak in the name of a loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, so today we have this very, very interesting gospel, right? Talking about the scary things that people consider about the end times. Isn't it kind of coincidental that this gospel just happens upon our lectionary cycle today, right? God is great sometimes, isn't God? All the time. All right. Well, all the things that have been going on in the media and all the things we've been watching really for almost 2 years, right? You know, are have us a little bit psyched up, right? In such turmoil. And now we thought, oh, at least on Tuesday night it'll all end. And lo and behold, no, we got some more turmoil, right? Got some more things. Well, these are the kinds of things that were happening as Luke wrote this gospel, right? Because all the things listed in this gospel had already happened. The temple had, in fact, already been thrown down, right? Luke writes this gospel in year 85 to 90. And in the year 70, the temple was destroyed by the Romans. The Jewish temple was destroyed in Jerusalem by the Romans. All these things, there were wars and insurrections and famines and plagues. All these things happened from around the year 30, 32, when Jesus left his earthly life and went to his heavenly life. And in between that time and roughly the year 80, these things had all taken place. So what Luke is doing is Luke is talking to us, right? Luke is talking to us. He's talking to his own congregation in around the year 85 or 90, but he's also speaking to us. It looks dark ahead, right? What will we be? No matter which side of the aisle you may be on, no matter which side of the aisle you may be on and upset about this or that, these are not, brothers and sisters, the end times. All right? Now, we're still called to do the work. We still have to do the work. But in fact, life will go on. And life will go on with one thing. What does Luke tell us? What does Jesus tell us? What does Luke tell us Jesus' words were with regard to all these trials and tribulations of the world? What's the main message here? These will be an opportunity for you to testify. Right? These will be an opportunity for you to testify to what it is to be a unified people. Right? So outside those doors we have Republicans, we have Democrats, we have liberals, we have conservatives, but here we're one, right? Here in this room, here in this time, we're one people. We're one people. And we demonstrate to the rest of the world that this is how one people love and respect one another, even if we don't agree. Right? There's no arguing here. Right? We might have different ideas and different concepts of what the best thing for the nation or for the world may be. But each week we gather in unity and we come to say, look, God, help us work these things out. Now, Paul's writing to the Thessalonians. This is Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, right? Because as Paul began his work, Paul began his ministry, Paul really believed that Jesus was about to come any day. The first letter to the Thessalonians kind of tells us that, right? So he wrote this letter to the Thessalonians and he said, well, you know, Jesus is around the corner. You know, probably in your lifetime this is going to happen. Jesus is going to come back. All will be perfection. And by the time Paul travels and learns and studies and is with the people, he writes the second letter to the Thessalonians, and he goes back and he finds out, what did they do with the message I gave them? They quit working. Well, if Jesus is going to come tomorrow, I don't think I'm going to work today. Right? If Jesus is around the corner, you know, I don't think I'm going to need to do this. Joe over there, he's got some food. I'll eat his food until Jesus comes. So Paul is reprimanding the people, Don't slouch down. The work continues. The same message. This is an opportunity for you to testify. This is an opportunity for you to testify to the good news of what Jesus Christ brought us. This is a testimonial opportunity. And so it is with us. So it is with us. However anxious we may be as we go outside, we have to maintain this non-anxious presence that we have here. We have to work hard to make the changes that we think are the right changes, but we have to work hard across channels. We have to work hard loving our neighbor as ourselves. We have to work hard understanding the differences that all people may have. As hard as that may be. Some of us go, how can they think that? And the other side going, how can they be that way? But the reality is, here we are. Here we demonstrate what unity is. Here in churches, in all of our churches on Sunday, in particular in this church here in Plantation, St. Benedict's Church. Here we demonstrate what that unity is. Look around. Look at the diversity. Look at the different colors, different ethnic backgrounds. Look at the diversity here. Here, we're not anxious. Here, we're loving. This is the testimony that we're called to carry out those doors, brothers and sisters. It's easy here. Right? It's easy here. As you walk down this aisle, get closer to the door, get closer to the outside door, get closer to your car door, it gets more and more and more difficult. And so we've seen it. We see it on the news. If we can stand, turn the news on, we see it on the news. We've seen this whole cycle of inappropriate behavior. We need to testify to what appropriate behavior is as Christians. We need to testify to that. And we need to testify to it in a loving way. Because all that we have here, all that we have in this room, is given to us by God. Right? As a community, this whole community exists because of the gifts that God gave this community. The gifts that gave us through this leadership on your leadership wall in the back. There's one of those leaders in the back, by the way, the first rector of St. Benedict's, Bishop Stephen. He became the Bishop of Fond du Lac. Bishop Stevens, I was here. Bishop Stevens became my mentor. Many of you remember him. Bishop Stevens was a bit conservative. Oh, wow. A bit might be an understatement. Bishop Stevens was a bit conservative. And Bishop Stevens lived in a time of the church when, God forbid, they were going to ordain women. Oh, we're going to ordain women? How could this possibly be? Right? But let me just tell you a little bit about Bishop Stevens. As he was the rector here, became the Bishop of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, what Bishop Stevens never lost sight of was, do not upset the apple cart. The unity must remain. I don't personally agree, but I understand the people that do agree. And he wrote great letters to the House of Bishops, not to withdraw. There are many churches, like we've seen in the last few years, wanted to withdraw. We're out of the Episcopal Church. If the Episcopal Church is going to ordain women, my God, right? We're going to leave the Episcopal Church. And Bishop Stevens wrote and was a solid, solid voice, even though he may have been on that side, not to leave, not to cause this disruption, maintain unity in the Episcopal Church. Unfortunately, the issues remain. We do, in fact, ordain women. And now, as issue after issue after issue was raised up, many of the churches decided to go. Many people decided to leave the Episcopal Church. The voices of those like Bishop Stevens were lost. I'm hoping we have that voice here. Don't move to Canada. Don't move back to Jamaica. Stay here. We need to be unified here. We need to show, we need to demonstrate and testify to the loving means that we have of working out our problems and our concepts and our ideas. This unity must remain. St. Benedict's, beginning with St. Benedict's, this unity must remain. Don't be in such disagreement with our neighbors that we break that unity. And so here, again, what a witness we are this morning. This is the kind of witness that we need throughout the church. This is the kind of witness we need throughout the nation and throughout all the countries of the world. This unity may be hard. See what Jesus says? Some of you may be killed. Right? Some of you may be killed by holding to this unity. Some of you may be beaten up. Some of you may be you know, scorned against, people talking bad about you. But this is the testimony we carry. This is the burden. This is the burden. Now your stewardship people are over there shaking in their feet, how is he going to tie this into stewardship? How can Father Tom possibly tie this into stewardship? It's the same story, right? It's the same story. As we acknowledge the gifts that we have here in a community, in a large community, all those gifts were given to us by God. Each of you here is a unique creation. And the Creator, as the Creator was creating the world and creating the mix of humankind, God created all these cells and DNAs and all these aspects of our creation. And then God positions them out to the people. He gives those out to the people that will inherit His kingdom. And so those mix, that creative mix, is here. It was put into you before you were born. At inception, your creative mix took on this nature, these God-given gifts that are yours. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? Because I worked a long time. I've worked hard. I deserve what I get. Right? I've worked hard all my life. It's been my talent. It's been my gifts. I know what I did. Right? No? No? Those gifts were given to you at creation. Those gifts were given to you at creation. God allowed you to use them, and probably you didn't use all that God gave you. Probably all the gifts that God put into your DNA you haven't used yet. Right? And so, yeah. So this in a community, that's what builds this community. Those gifts, that makeup, is what makes up this picture. This great picture of you as a unified people. And it's also what makes each one of you an individual. Because there's a communal aspect to all this, and then there's an individual aspect to all this. If we truly believe that everything that we have is God's, do we believe it? Hard as it may be? Do we believe that everything that we have is God's? Then that's the difficulty, isn't it? At this time of stewardship, and you've got a little thing, then how do we demonstrate that? As we look and we see, well, how do we demonstrate, God, that we truly believe that all that I am, all that I have is yours? I offer you something back. God doesn't need the money, brothers and sisters. It's not about the money. It's about your willingness to make a commitment to God to say, this is what I'm going to demonstrate with. I'm going to demonstrate with this amount of money. Now, the other thing we do is it's been so difficult for the church to tithe, right? It's been so very difficult for the church to tithe that we've used the word tithe to mean anything. Oh, I put $2 worth of money in the plate. That was my tithe. No. A tithe is 10%. Tithe means 10%. Whoa. I was doing my budget last night. I know that my electric bill, my mortgage bill, my telephone bill. There isn't 10% left. There isn't 10% left at the bottom of this budget. What in the world do they want me to do about that? Well, one of the things that's a good idea is to work towards this tithe. Is to begin to say, yes, that's the ideal. And probably not everyone in this room can do that on year one. So you need to decide how many years you need to get there. How many years do you need to get there? Keeping in mind that everything that you have is from God. And so what God wants us to do spiritually is to step out. God wants us to recognize that. It's not about St. Benedict's budget. Sorry. Father Albert's shaking. It's not about St. Benedict's budget. It's about our relationship with God, each and every one of us as an individual. How do we play out that relationship with God? If, in fact, we all started on some proportional giving means, the treasurers and the finance committees, they wouldn't have to pull their hair out, right? Their hair wouldn't be gray because the budget would be there. It would continue to be a secondary or a third or a fourth thing down the list of interest. It's more important, brothers and sisters, it's more important for you to have this demonstrable interaction with God, that you say, I acknowledge everything that I have is from you. And I'm going to demonstrate that by some sacrifice. by giving some of this back. Giving some of this back. And not just decide on the spot. Not just decide, oh, great preacher today, I'm going to put in 20 bucks. No. Making a commitment over the course of the year and a pledge, saying, God, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. And then do everything you can possibly do to keep it. Always, as you write out that check, remembering it's not for St. Benedict's. It's about your relationship with God. And I would suggest you move it from the bottom of your list to the top. You do that. And you know what? You hear a lot of churches say, oh, if you do that, everything will be fine. No, it won't. You know what? I wish we could preach that. If you give 10%, all your problems are over. We can't say it because it's not true. Because then it wouldn't be sacrifice, would it? It wouldn't be a sacrificial gift. It wouldn't be an honor of what God has given you. If you can do it that easily, you got to raise from 10% to 12%. Right? No. So it's not. There's no promise here. There's no quid pro quo. If you give, you'll get. Wish the Episcopal Church could say that sometimes, but we can't. It's not true. It needs to be a sacrificial act. Sacrificial act. And if we believe that all of our successes are our own, they're not. As hard as it may be to swallow, they are not our own. God gave us those gifts and talents and our DNA and our makeup before we were born. And God is pleased that we've used it well in those cases and displeased that we haven't used it well in those cases. And so this, brothers and sisters, this has to be where we are. We have to be, on a corporate level, unified in acknowledging that everything we have is a gift from God of all the makeup and all the people here in this room. And individually, we have to acknowledge our individual makeup and that all that we have is given by that creative forces of God in our very beginning. And so my prayers, brothers and sisters, are that you'll take a good look at this inclusion in your bulletin today on means of looking at proportional giving. And that as it comes time next week or so for you to fill out your pledge card, that you have this kind of a relationship as you fill it out. Not looking towards the budget and balancing St. Benedict's budget, but looking towards your relationship with God and what is God calling me to do? What is God calling me to be? How does God want me to acknowledge that all that I have is God's? And if we do that, the bean counters and the budget people will also have no worries, because God will provide through a sacrificial body. When there's a sacrificial body of people, the budget people will figure out how to make that work. But it's important for each and every one of you to have this sacrificial concept of giving back and demonstrating to God your own liturgy. This is your liturgy. Just like we have this liturgy that we're celebrating here with the Eucharist, this is your liturgy. Each one of these children about to be baptized today, right? Each one of these children that are about to be baptized today, you know, are closer to the reality of all that they have is in their early DNA. Each one has this great potential to go forward. Each one of them could be president, doctor, whatever, pope. You never know. So, presiding bishop maybe. Each one has this potential. And just as we see them, each one of us still has a great remainder of that potential in each one of us. So step out. Step out. Be sacrificial. And remember, as you fill out that pledge card, it's your relationship with God that counts. That's what counts most. There's a story that a friend of mine told me that just before you're born, God whispers in your ear. See? And the farther we get, the more we grow, We keep searching for what that whisper said. All of our lives we seek those last words of God as we were just being born. God revealed to us who we are. These two are beginning a new path today, a new journey today. That's all right. It's hard news in front. Each one of us are always trying to recall what that message was. And so we're going to baptize these two today into a new life in Christ, and a continued life in Christ. And we're going to hope for them that they also hear that whisper sometime in the course of their journey. Amen. Perfect.